The Worldview Weekend Rally is one night, and it's totally free as a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. And in 2017, we're going to these cities. Saturday night, March 4th, Rogers, Arkansas. Wichita, Kansas, Sunday night, March 5th. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Monday night, March 6th. Free Worldview Weekend Rally, Dallas, Texas, March 7th. That's a Tuesday night. Wednesday night, March 8th, Houston, Texas. And then in April, we're off to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. April 9th, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. April 10th, La Crosse, Wisconsin. April 11th, Green Bay, Wisconsin. April 12th, Madison, Wisconsin. And April 13th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You can register now, free of charge, at wvwtv.com/conferences. That's wvwtv.com/conferences. Now, in Rogers and Wichita, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Houston, Sharam Hadian will be joining me, Brandon House, as one of the keynote speakers. And then in Sioux Falls, La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee, I'll be joined by former Muslim turned believer in Jesus Christ and pastor Sharam Hadian. Now, again, these are totally free, but you must register because it's not uncommon that we fill the auditorium that we rent. Therefore, you must register so we have enough seating. You can do that at wvwtv.com/conferences. Not only will these guys be speaking along with myself, but I'll start out the evening with a few songs from my new CD, as well as then leading you in a few songs as well. Then we'll get down to some great Bible teaching and Worldview Weekend keynote presentations. This is for the entire family. I would say age 10 to 110. We have a wide age group that attend these conferences. It's for the whole family, and it's 100% free. Now, we do take a free will offering to offset the renting of the facility and the travel expenses, but no one is turned away over money. That's why it's free. It's a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. Again, tell your friends about it, won't you? Tweet it, put it on Facebook, email it. Help us get out the word, won't you? And you can even go to our website and order up free magazines to distribute to get them excited about coming to the conference. You can order the free magazines at wvwtv.com/digest. wvwtv.com/digest. Order those up, won't you? And pass them out and get out the word about the free Worldview Weekend rallies coming to these cities. And then don't forget to register at wvwtv.com/conferences. The Worldview Weekend rallies, they're free, and they're a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation.
Faith, spiritual value, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. I had to bend over and pick up the questions I just dropped. Dr. John joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Dr. John, welcome back to the program, my friends.
Praise the Lord. It's always a joy to open our mouth and give out our heart of love to those who are willing to listen to the Word of God. Praise God for His message.
Well, praise God for your faithfulness and your study and your being a workman who can rightfully divide the Word of truth. So many people in this listening audience email us thanking us for carrying your program and having you on, and how much they just have such great respect and affection for you. So thank you for that, Dr. John. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org. I wanted to say Ask Dr. John. It's WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. And if you want to send in a question, you can do that, info@worldviewweekend.com, or the shorter URL, info@worldviewradio.com, info@worldviewradio.com. Well, here's the first question that one of you has sent in. Dr. John, this person wants to know, how and when did the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars come into existence? Well, that's a question many people argue today. Was it a billion years ago, 500 million years ago, or 6 to 10,000 years ago? How and when did the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars come into existence?
Yes, that is, of course, one of the most wonderful things we read about in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that on that fourth day, not the first, that's interesting, isn't it? It was on the fourth day. God doesn't want to honor the sun, S-U-N, and as an object of worship, as many people did in the ancient world. So we're told that in Genesis 1 that it was on the fourth day that God made two great lights. He doesn't even name them. The greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he made the stars also. Just as if God said, oh, yes, the star. And trillions of stars instantly appeared in their light, of course, reached the earth. And I might say that this is an amazing testimony to the priorities that God gives to what comes first and what comes second, third, and fourth in honor, in majesty, and in glory. And, of course, the glory of all this creation account in Genesis 1 focuses on the one who made those things, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 says in the beginning, he was there. All things are made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And we say, thank you, Lord, for your glory as the creator of the world, as well as our Savior. And I might mention, Breno, that we have a different set of 10 questions this time. That wasn't the first one I have on my list, but that's all right. The first question we have for today is, what are the most strategic Christian ministries we can be involved in the last days of the church age?
Well, I'll let you answer that. You answer that while I find the right questions. For some reason, that was what popped up from me today. But you go ahead and answer the right question while I get the full correct list. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Yes. The most strategic Christian ministries today in this church age. Prayer. Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. That's prayer to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, of course, who was responsible for writing the Bible to tell us these things. Another strategic ministry, of course, is gospel tracts. Tracts that are carefully written and that are thoroughly biblical. I recommend World Missionary Press Indiana, that sends tracts, good tracts, all over the world in hundreds of languages, post-prayed free of charge. Call them 574-831-2111. That's the World Missionary Press, and I'm sure they'd be very happy to help you. And, of course, we say, well, thank you, Lord, for these ministries and Bible teaching churches and missions around the world that are honoring God's word, are strategic Christian ministries in this day.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, now I got the right ones. See, I don't use Outlook Express because it has too many glitches, so I use a Gmail. And what happens is anytime someone emails me, it stacks all their emails right up on top of each other. And you would think the most recent one would be at the top, but no, the most recent one is at the bottom. So I printed the wrong one. All right, so here we go. Now I've got the right list. The Bible describes the Genesis flood beginning at a certain year, month, and day of Noah's life. Why does the Bible put such an emphasis on chronology, Dr. John?
Yes, that is absolutely amazing. As you read Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, you say, well, why year, month, day? That's God's way of saying he really was a real person. Aren't you thankful to say once upon a time there was a man named Noah, which sort of might imply that it's just a dream. No, chronology is foundational in God's precious word. Exodus 20:11, in 6 days, God created the heavens and earth and all that is in them. And the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead on what? The third day. He really did. He came back alive from the realm of death. The 70th week of Daniel is coming. It's a seven-year period, and the Bible is very specific about how many years and how that's divided. And then following that is a thousand-year kingdom. And we say, well, my, that must be God's way of saying these things really did happen, are happening, and will happen. Yes. It was my privilege to help write prepare 10 plastic-coated Bible time charts that help us to see the timing, the order of events throughout the history of the universe and the future that's coming, and trust that that will be of interest and help. They're available on our website, www.whitcombministries.org, and we just trust we can be of help to you in that vital aspect of biblical revelation.
Thank you, Dr. John. All right, here's the next one, folks. Did the flood really cover the entire earth, including all mountains? Now, Dr. John, this is important because they're getting to the issue of, well, it was a regional flood. And I think we have guys out there like Hugh Ross, if I'm not mistaken, that have taught on national radio programs like Focus on the Family. I think he's been a guest of with Dr. Dobson when he was running the organization many, many times, if I remember correctly. And guys like Hugh Ross teach a regional flood, do they not?
Yes, and that is very unbiblical. Listen to what God has to say about this. Psalm 104:6-9. Thou didst cover it, that's the earth, with the deep. That's the deep, the ocean. As with a garment. The waters are standing what? Above the mountains. Above the mountains, my. At thy rebuke they fled. At the sound of thy thunder they hurried away. Now here's the main point. The mountains rose. The valley sank down to the place which thou didst establish for them, that they, and thou didst set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Now, do you see, friends, the point here? When the flood ended, mountains rose and valleys, as basins, ocean basins, sank down. The point being that before the flood, mountains were not as high as they are today. There was no Mount Everest. Those mountains came up after the flood. And oh, really? Yes. And so God is emphasizing the fact that the flood was absolutely universal, because the geography of this planet before the flood was totally different than it has been since the flood. Listen to what Isaiah says to confirm that. Isaiah chapter 54:9. And I say, well, my, isn't this the mouth of two or three witnesses? Yes, Isaiah 54:9. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. My, you see, there have been thousands of floods since the Genesis flood, but not one of them covered the whole world. And God made that covenant very clear, didn't he, with a rainbow sign in Genesis 9. When you see the rainbow, you'll know I'm serious about this, dear reader, dear child. There never again will be a flood like the days, like it was in the days of Noah. Oh, well, thank you, Lord. Now I see something very important. Of course no flood could cover Mount Everest today. But now Mount Everest wasn't there before the flood. That is the answer to the question that many people are stumbling over. We have discussed this carefully in our book, The Genesis Flood, and also a book called The World That Perished, so that people can see the significance, this tremendous importance of that event in the history of this planet in terms of its shape, form, structure, design, distribution of land masses and oceans. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us to see that that flood was unique and special. And I thank you for helping us understand these things clearly.
So, Dr. John, if I hear you correctly, do you believe that someone that does not believe in a global flood, someone claiming to be a Christian and teaching, no, it wasn't global, it was regional, you said that's unbiblical. Do you see that as an attack on the authority and accuracy of Scripture?
Well, yes, of course. We say, well, no, wait a minute. Why would Noah spend 120 years building an ark to escape from a local flood? I think he and his family could have walked away to, you know, some other region. This is total absurdity. And, of course, let's face it, dear friends, all of us are tempted from time to time to doubt, question, be confused about certain things in the Bible. And we need to be instructed lovingly patiently, prayerfully, until we understand the whole thing clearly as God has revealed. And so the Bible constantly tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is essential not only in terms of what how the world began, creation, how it was transformed in the flood, how it's going to be transformed at the end of the kingdom age, the thousand-year king. All these things, of course, God has revealed in his precious, infallible, inerrant word, illumined by the Holy Spirit, that we can walk in the truth, in the light, and reflect that light into other people's lives, lovingly, patiently, prayerfully, and carefully.
Mm-hmm. Dr. John, we're going to go to a break, but the reason they don't teach a worldwide flood must be because they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed to do that. They think they look silly to teach a worldwide flood. Is that why they want to rewrite the scriptures?
I think so, because, of course, the majority of people who claim to be Christians, says that to say, are deeply influenced, like I was, by evolutionary thinking. And I say, thank you, God, for helping us to see the truth that you have revealed in your word so that we can understand exactly what you meant by what you said.
Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org. We'll be back with more of your questions as you ask Dr. John. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Hardly a week goes by that I don't read a credible news story about the threat to our national power grid, either through a physical attack, a hacking attack, or an EMP. Well, I was aware of these threats several years ago, and in April of 2013, I bought food insurance. You know, I have car insurance, health insurance, life insurance, homeowners insurance, but I didn't have any food insurance. I was vulnerable. If something had happened that shut down the just-in-time inventory at our local grocery store, what would I do? I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't want to be dependent on the government. So I got some food insurance. I purchased enough freeze-dried food for 5 people for 6 months, and then I added to that over time. I've purchased Mountain House, and Worldview Weekend in October of 2016 became a distributor of Mountain House food because so many of you are asking, where did I purchase it and how can you get some? And this way, we're helping your family and you're helping support our radio and television ministry. Now, some of you, you need to budget for this. You can't purchase enough freeze-dried food for your family for 6 months at one time. So I would urge you to consider a plan where you purchase a little bit every month and you can budget for it, and eventually you'll have 6 months supply of food for however many family members you need. Maybe you want a year supply. Purchase just a little bit each and every month, put it away, and begin to have that food insurance. I know you must have car insurance, health insurance, life insurance, homeowners insurance. Well, here's your chance now to get food insurance. It's hard to believe, but national experts, I mean, go check it out for yourself. Put it into a search engine. National experts say that if we have an attack on our power grid and it goes down for a year, 9 out of 10 Americans would die in that year from social unrest, disease, and most shockingly, starvation. You need some food insurance, don't you think? You want to check it out? Our website's wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore. And you can get some food insurance. I've eaten Mountain House food since the 1980s on camping trips. They've been around since 1968. It's who the Navy SEALs buy their food from. I think that tells you a lot. Isn't it time for you to get some food insurance? wvwtv.com/bookstore. Welcome back, Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com, and the Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up April 28, 29, and 30. Full details at wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks, or worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks. I just got an email before we went on the air from the resort, and they are listing out to me how many rooms you guys have booked, and we're filling up, folks. They're quite shocked They've never had us with them before, so they're a little shocked. They're like, this is going to be a big deal. And, yeah, I said, I tried to warn you guys. And they've had to block out more rooms in our block so that there's plenty of rooms, but they're pretty impressed that you guys are coming from all over the country. They're like, folks are traveling from a long way for this. I'm like, yeah, it's a very important conference, and people take it very seriously, and they enjoy it, and many have been attending for many, many years. So we're excited that you guys seem to be excited, and I think we made a good decision. And after 13 years of being in Branson, to move it just a little bit north. Again, you can still take in Branson the day before or the day after our conference. It's about 90 to 100 miles or so away. So you can still go down there and be a part of that if you want. But I think we made a great location, a pick, by keeping it all at one place, a resort, the hotel, the conference center, restaurants, all the amenities, no more chasing and running. And we negotiated a great room rate for everybody. It's off season, so we were able to do that. It's literally just a couple of weeks before their season starts, and then the prices would be way up. But we're in the off season, and so we can get it at a great price, and they're glad to have us there. And so I hope you will consider joining us still if you haven't made your plans to do that. It's not too late to do so. Full details at worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks. worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks. Again, remind you that if for some reason you can't afford the ticket price, even though we have not raised that price in 14 years, if that is a barrier to you, just send us an email and we'll gladly send you some tickets as our gift to you as a ministry. I heard from a pastor and his family. He emailed me. He pastors a small church, and he would like to bring his wife and teenage children. And we said, send us your address and how many tickets you need. We'll send those off to you. And we're glad to honor him in that way. And so if you're the pastor of a church, or you're a missionary, or you're even just someone who's without a job right now, you can get there. You can spend a couple nights hotel. But the conference ticket price is put you over the top. Just send me an email, info@worldviewradio.com, info@worldviewradio.com. Tell me how many tickets you need and your address. We'll gladly send those on to you. Again, as a ministry of Worldview Weekend, Worldview Weekend Foundation, you might want to bring your pastor, associate pastor, and use this as a weekend for him, and bless him in that way. And again, we'd encourage you to do that. Full details, the speakers and topics at worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb. He joins us every few weeks for what we call Ask Dr. John. He's been a theologian for many, many years, very, very well respected. Many of you have been following his ministry for many years. I first met him when I was 10 years old, when he came to our home for dinner. Little did we know, years later, we'd be ministry partners, broadcast ministry partners. And so providentially, we believe God has brought us together. And we're so thankful for someone like Dr. John, one of those gifted men that God has given the church to help us to better understand his word. So you send in your questions, we send them on to him, and then he endeavors to answer them. And if you'd like to send in your questions, all you got to do is email us, info@worldviewradio.com, info@worldviewradio.com. Put in the subject line, please ask Dr. John. We'll send that on to him. Dr. John, here's the next question. How did the animals come? Boy, a lot of questions about Noah's Ark and everything today. I think pretty much almost all of them, except for maybe the last couple, are about Noah's Ark. How did animals come to Noah's Ark? Did these animals include dinosaurs?
Amazing, amazing. Listen to this amazing. I'm sure that Noah himself wondered, was deeply concerned and frustrated about this problem. Spent 120 years building the Ark, and how is he going to go out and collect animals? Listen to what God says about that. Genesis 6:19. God said to Noah, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They should be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, and every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind shall come to you. They shall come to you to keep them alive. Oh, thank you, Lord. I build the ark, you bring the animals. You see, that's the way things are with our Lord and his people. God said, you know, everything is like, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works within you. Yes. And, you know, in getting Lazarus out of the tomb, Jesus could have moved the stone. He said, you move the stone. You do what you can do. I'll do what I can do. And that you can't do. We'll work together. Synergism. So, of course, they, with great effort, moved the stone. And when he rose from the dead, they had to unravel him carefully, which Jesus could have done. But the one thing they could never have done was to bring life to the dead man. And that's the way it is, friends, all through God's Word. God can do everything all by himself. It's like the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've taught you. You say, well, how can we do that? Answer, I am with you till the end of the age. End of Matthew 28. Oh, thank you, Lord. Without you, we cannot do anything. So, friends, we need to keep this in balance very carefully. God's work, our work, together. But wait a minute. Look what else is going to come into the ark. Every creeping thing. That includes dinosaurs. You mean dinosaurs were in the ark? Well, friends, that is absolutely astounding. Because when you stop and think how big that ark was, you can see that God intended all the animals, yes, dinosaurs as well, to be included. Now listen to this. It was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, with a displacement of 43,000 tons, gross tonnage 14,000 tons, carrying capacity equivalent to 522 standard railroad stock cars. Hmm. Only 188 cars would be required to hold 45,000 sheep-sized animals, leaving three trains of 104 cars for each for food, Noah's family, and range for the animals. And so we say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us see the amazing size of that ark. Now, it's been my privilege for many years to have a part in the planning, designing, and finally, the building of a full-size ark just south of Cincinnati. And Answers in Genesis expects 1,500,000 people during the first year to come to see that amazing thing. It was my privilege to be there when the ark was open in July. And I trust that all of you can get there, too. If you want to know how to arrange that, just call Answers in Genesis at 1-800-350-3232, and they'll tell you how you can get there. But the wonderful thing about this ARC project is the dedication of Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis to this proposition, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know what Jesus said about this? In John 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm the real door, the ultimate eternal door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for opening the door of salvation to people all over the world for whom you paid the price of our sins on that cross, confirmed by your resurrection from the dead, that we might enter through you into the ark of salvation forever and ever. And I say thank you, God, for this wonderful, magnificent visual aid that God has permitted us. I'm not saying that I was there using a hammer and nails, friends. At the age of 92, I don't hammer very many nails anymore. But we had excellent carpenters from northern Indiana that came down and are experts at woodwork, and it was beautifully done. And so we hope all of you will make an effort to get there and see that and participate in that wonderful outreach ministry to the world in which we live today.
Thank you, Dr. John. We appreciate that. Let's see. Here's the next one. And by the way, again, folks, if you want to get on board with your questions, info@worldviewradio.com, info@worldviewradio.com, and please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Well, let's get started on this one. If we have a break come up, we can finish it up on the other side. But this question from a listener is, why did all clean animals enter the ark by sevens instead of twos?
Listen to this. Genesis 7, verse 2. God said to Noah, you shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and a female. And of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and a female. Why? Well, because God had something special in mind for these clean animals after the flood ended. Listen to this. Genesis 8, verse 20. When the flood ended and Noah emerged from the ark, he built an altar. That's the first mention of altars in the Bible. An altar to the Lord. And took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Why? This is God's provision, of course, for the whole system in the Old Testament of animal sacrifices that could not take away sin but were symbolic, of course, of the price that would have to be paid with the shedding of blood, namely the blood of Jesus. So God is preparing us, you see, way back there at the time the flood ended, for a God-honoring worship system. In fact, it says it in such a wonderful way in the next verse, 21, Genesis 8, 21, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said, I'll never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done while the earth remains. Listen to this. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night should not cease. Something permanent was established in terms of the rotation of the earth, its relationship, of course, to seasons, night and day, sun and moon, star. This is an amazing statement, isn't it? That God is going to honor his promise that never again will that kind of a flood, a global flood, strike the earth. That's the Rainbow Covenant guarantee. And I say thank you, Lord, for this amazing purpose of the animal sacrifices and to show us our need of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Dr. John Whitcomb, and we call it Ask Dr. John. We'll be back with more questions that you have sent in for Dr. John Whitcomb. And again, if you want to get in your question, it's just simply info@worldviewradio.com. info@worldviewradio.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. We'll be back with more Ask Dr. John. Hello, I'm Brandon House. As you know, a few years ago, we set out to be the premier biblical worldview radio and television network. And as you know, today we produce and distribute numerous radio and television programs from our Memphis, Tennessee studios. Each week we spend hours filming, recording, and post-editing these programs to make them available to you and Christians around the world at absolutely no charge. Please remember that we do not charge any of these broadcast partners, and in fact we cover their travel and lodging. These programs are largely made possible because of your partnership with us through your tax-deductible contributions to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Can you imagine the man hours required to produce these television programs? Not to mention the hundreds of hours in studying, filming, and post-production we do each year. Then there's the cost of producing and distributing these programs. It includes the bandwidth we must pay for that our app, our Roku channel, and our website consume each time you watch one of our programs. We also have the cost of our computer tech, server administrator, servers, backup servers on the cloud, video player that streams each program, that's a monthly fee, flying our broadcasters in to our TV studio in Memphis to film and paying for their lodging and then flying them back home. So I'm coming to you today with a very special request. We need to generate $4,000 a month in additional ministry donations to cover our budgets and the projects that we are currently involved in that include all of these free TV shows, radio shows, and our free Worldview Weekend rallies. Now, if you're in a position to be able to help support this broadcast ministry and you're not doing so, will you please consider becoming a monthly contributor starting today? If you can't, we understand. But if you can, would you help out? We need 40 new individuals to commit to partnering with us in ministry at $100 per month. 40 people at $100 a month. Or 80 people at $50 per month. or 160 at 25 per month. In all our years of ministry, I'm not aware that we've ever put out such a challenge. And we're not doing so on a whim. We've spent years proving our commitment, ministry results, stewardship, and doctrinal faithfulness. And I think we have a proven track record that now justifies this challenge. Now our ministry is producing 8 television programs alone, as you know, not to mention all the free radio shows. So please let us know that we can count on you. Would you email us today, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and let us know if you're willing to become a monthly contributor and at what level, $100 a month, $50 a month, or $25 a month. Please remember, we're hoping to increase our monthly contributions by $4,000 per month so we have all of our monthly expenses covered and can meet our budget challenge and ministry opportunities. The last thing we want to do is have to cancel any of our television programs or our free rallies because our ministry opportunities have outpaced our support. You can set up a monthly contribution online at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com, or you can send a check each month to Worldview Weekend, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. You can also call in your donation each month at 901-853-8792. We're looking for some new ministry partners. Will you be that partner with us? Thank you. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Someone just sent me a question wanting to know about the Trinity and studying this topic and wanting to learn saying, I know this is a very important doctrinal issue. Can you help me understand the Trinity? And I just sent them off a link to a whole hour on In Defense of the Trinity that you'll find inside the Situation Room at situationroom.net. And it's absolutely amazing the hundreds, really thousands of radio shows, that are absolutely timeless, and hundreds of television shows that we've archived inside the Situation Room. What a great resource, I believe. And we've even built a Bible software program where you can search topics like the Trinity and find so much on this topic. It really is a digital online Bible software program, situationroom.net. I hope you'll check it out. If you're not a member, you can join for as little as $8.99 a month. It's amazing the amount of resources you get for that, ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, radio shows, TV shows, conference DVDs, all the radio and TV shows of all of our broadcast partners. They're all archived there. You can watch them on your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, through Roku. You can check it out, situationroom.net/join. Situationroom.net/join. I use it all the time to find information for research because there are some of the guys that work with us that are experts in certain areas, and I know they've done shows on certain things. And so sometimes I'm looking for some information, and I use the Situation Room for my own study to find what Usama's taught on something, or Justin Peters, or Mike Abendroth. And so you can use it the same way that I use it each and every day. And by the way, if you join, the password and email address you give to your spouse, you give to your children, give to your college students who are off at college, you can let them use that. They're still part of your family, obviously, and you can let them use that. And so really for a membership for the whole family, it's quite reasonable and a lot of great training in there. You know, some of you send your kids off to worldview camps, and those are $1,400 to $2,500 plus the transportation to get there. And sadly, some of these worldview camps today are teaching old earth. They're teaching millions of years. They're teaching theistic evolution. They're teaching social justice, the social gospel. I just saw where one well-known worldview organization's now hooked up with Tim Keller, who teaches social justice and ecumenicalism and other things. Maybe you don't want to send your kid off to that. I hope you don't. Maybe you don't have the resources to spend $1,500 sending your child to a worldview camp. And if you do, you're not sure what they're going to get. Well, may I just simply say that's one reason why we've built the Situation Room with all of the resources. It's a great way for the whole family to get biblical worldview training as well as just information, staying abreast of what's happening from the perspective of a biblical worldview. Situationroom.net/ join. So if you have a question, just like the gentleman that just emailed me, sincerely wanting to know, help me understand this doctrine of the Trinity. There we have a whole hour in-depth Bible teaching I was able to send off to him and say, here, please watch this, and then let me know if I can answer any questions. You can do this same thing, my friends, and I hope you'll use that resource in that manner. SituationRoom.net/join. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. WhitcombMinistries.org is his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. You'll find his book there, The Genesis Flood, that he wrote some 60 years ago now, right, Dr. John? 60? Has it been 60 years already?
Yes, amazing. I have something to share about that, too, that may be of interest to people who have wondered how all this came about.
All right. Well, let's get to that. I'm guessing it's going to come out here in one of the questions. Here's the next one. Why did God remember Noah 150 days after the flood began? And the person marks Genesis 8:1.
That is surprising, because we're told at the end of chapter 7 of Genesis, after the 150 days, months of turmoil, catastrophe, prevailing of that water. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. You say, wait a minute. God remembered Noah. You mean he forgot about him during those days? God was so busy bringing the flood that he forgot about Noah and then he remembered him? Well, of course not, friends. God doesn't forget things. And therefore, he doesn't remember things the way we do. You say, really? Yes, the Jews understood this. Listen to what God says about the thief on the cross in the Gospel of Luke. And this is amazing. Luke 23, verse 39. On either side of Jesus when he was crucified, as we know, there were two thieves. And it says, one of the criminals who was hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Now listen. But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man, pointing to Jesus, the central cross, has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Really? What's that mean? What comfort would it have been to him for Jesus to say, I remember you. No, that means I will take special care of you. Really? Yes. He said, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. He would be regenerated, born again at that moment. He would die physically, but he's alive spiritually forever with Jesus, as is every person in the world today who puts faith in him. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us understand the magnitude and depth of that word. Remember, when God remembers, he takes full care of, in terms of spiritual need and provision unto eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. John. Okay, here's another one. How should I respond to someone in my church who rejects the literal teachings of Genesis verses 1 through 11?
Yes. Well, friends, obviously, in every church, I should be careful saying that, In the vast majority of churches in the world today, there are levels of maturity and understanding and commitment to the things of God's precious word. The Bible is self-authenticating. We don't have to sit down and prove it scientifically and philosophically and examine every other religion in the world to see which one is the best. No, the Bible is self-authenticating, like light in the darkness. In a deep cave, if you're with your friend and there's no light, and you say, well, how are we going to get out of here? And you say to him, well, I have a flashlight. And he's totally despairing. He says, well, it won't work. Oh, yes, it will. I bought it. Wait a minute. Why argue about it? All you have to do is what? Push the button and the light comes on and it is self-authenticating. That is what happens when God's precious word, authored by the Holy Spirit, comes into a human life, a human heart, a human mind. May I just say this? That was some of my experience, too. I was raised as a godless evolutionist. My parents were wonderful people, but they didn't believe in the Bible. I entered Princeton University in the summer of 1942 as an evolutionist. And for months, I was sort of dragged into a Bible class at Murray Dodge Hall, where I heard of a marvelous Bible teacher, Dr. Donald Fullerton. And finally, in February 1943, he came to my room in the dormitory. He thought I was ready, and he graciously, prayerfully, kindly told me who Jesus Christ really is, what he did for us in his death and resurrection. And he didn't argue about evolution or anything. He just told me what God said in his self-authenticating word. And I became a believer in that hour. In fact, I have written a paper on this called The Conversion of an Evolutionist, and that is available on our website. And I say, well, Lord, thank you for that. Wonderful. But I was still deeply influenced by evolutionary thinking. Even when I went to a seminary and graduated and began teaching, I was confused about some of the things in Genesis 1. And what did God do for me in his mercy? He sent Dr. Henry Morris, who presented a paper that amazed me, showing the literal interpretation of Genesis 1 and the universality of the Genesis flood. And we spent 6 years together working up, one step at a time, our book, The Genesis Flood, which was finally published in 1961. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for bringing that man into my life. Who presented this how? Here's the point. He presented his paper prayerfully, lovingly, graciously, but of course, the Holy Spirit of God convinced me that I had not been properly teaching Genesis. I had the so-called gap theory between Genesis 1-1 and 1-2 millions of years back there, supposedly. No, the Genesis flood was the cause of the fossils, billions of them all over the world. And I just say thank you, Lord, for helping Henry Morris to help me so graciously to understand these deeper things of the book of Genesis that I was supposedly teaching at a theological seminary. And so I think that is the answer, friends. In our churches, see people around us that we need to be prayerfully, lovingly, carefully, and helping and encouraging as we have opportunity, giving them books and videos or whatever they're willing to read or listen to, trusting the Holy Spirit, mind you, not your argumentation, not your brilliance, but the Holy Spirit to change the mind and the heart.
Thank you, Dr. John. His website, folks, is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. Dr. John, we have one last question for you, and I think some new information will be coming out in this last question. We'll hold it for the other side of the break. But when they go to WhitcombMinistries.org, what might they find there?
WhitcombMinistries.org.
Go ahead.
We have many, many books, many, many time charts, many, many videos, DVDs, and we trust that we can be a help to people who want to understand the deeper things of God's Word as He has entrusted that to us in His mercy. Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. John. All right, WhitcombMinistries.org is his website. And by the way, we also carry his program at worldviewradio.com each and every week. We have a brand new broadcast. You're still recording and carrying out a radio ministry at 92 years of age, Dr. Whitcomb. That's wonderful.
Praise God for his mercy. Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you.
And you can hear that program every week at worldviewradio.com. You can also hear it on Sunday mornings. I think it's 7:30 a.m., if I remember correctly, on the VCY America Radio Network. So we'll come back and we'll ask Dr. John, what are the latest developments in the areas of both creationism and Bible prophecy? What are the latest developments in the areas of both creationism and Bible prophecy? That's our question for Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. I hope you will make a point of telling your friends not only about the free radio program, the free TV show, but our free conferences. You'll find it all at worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. We're coming to many cities here in just a few weeks. It's totally free. Usama Dakdok and Sharam Haidian will be joining me. Full details, worldviewradio.com, and look for the link, conferences. Have you and your family made common sense preparations? Here's an audio clip of Ted Koppel, who spent 2 years researching the threat to America's power grid.
What I'm talking about is a cyber attack against infrastructure, a cyber attack that could affect tens of millions of people for a period of months, if not longer.
Based on your reporting, it seems clear from your book that the national security officials believe that this is a matter of when and not if.
Exactly. In fact, that's a line that a man I came to know when I was embedded with the U.S. forces during the invasion of Iraq, he is now the commander of CENTCOM, four-star general Lloyd Austin, who said exactly that. It's not a question of if, it's only a question of when.
Military experts and national security experts tell us that our greatest threat is the vulnerability of our power grid. Here's James Woolsey, former director of the CIA.
And Ambassador, do you think that the power plants across the country have the protection that they need?
No, absolutely not.
And you were the head of the CIA. Our
Yes.
enemies know all this, correct?
I'm afraid they do. The Russians have told us that they, back in the early 90s, told the North Koreans a great deal about how to use an electromagnetic pulse detonation.
After spending 2 years researching the threat to our power grid, what is Ted Koppel doing? Listen, and he'll tell you.
It is frightening enough that my wife and I decided we were going to buy enough freeze-dried food for all of our kids and their kids.
How long would it be before major American cities with just-in-time inventory ran out of food? Ted Koppel tells us what would happen to Manhattan.
You're talking about a community of, what, 8 million people? The food in a place like Manhattan would run out in a couple of days. New York State has several million MREs, meals ready to eat. But when you take several million and you divide it by 8 million, you're talking about maybe a 2 or 3 day food supply. Mm. What happens on day four?
Yeah.
So do you think your family should make some common sense preparations? Listen to this audio clip by Ted Koppel on the importance of being prepared.
But to have an extra supply of food and water, to be able to take care of your family and to know that you're not dependent upon government sort of running to the rescue, I think that can actually be quite healthy.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. I began making preparations in 2007 for my family because I was aware way back then of the threat to our national power grid. Recently, I've been sharing with you the plans that I've been laying since 2007, common sense plans. And now, in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore, you can see some of the very items and things I'm using to have a common sense preparation plan. You can visit our website, wvwtv.com/bookstore, to find out about these resources. Not only are you benefiting your family, but when you purchase this through our bookstore, you're supporting our ministry, our broadcast and radio and television and conference ministry. Or you can purchase these items somewhere else. It's totally up to you. Either way, I suggest your family have a common sense preparation plan.
My sense of it, though, is we're better off preparing. I mean, let's say we prepare for something that doesn't happen. Then we will at least be prepared for any other disaster that comes along. But I must tell you, after spending almost 2 years on this, I'm convinced that at some point or another, it's going to happen.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. WorldviewRadio.com. WorldviewRadio.com. As I said before the break, we're going to be going to many cities this spring, and I hope you'll check out the website and go to worldviewweekend.com/conferences, worldviewweekend.com /conferences. And when you do, you'll see that we have many cities that we're going to, and you can join us by simply registering online. It is free. But as I explained yesterday, we do ask you to register so we can have a full accounting of everyone that'll be there so we have enough chairs. Because last year we had in 9 out of 10 cities, we had to bring out more chairs. And that sometimes takes a little bit of doing when we work with the hotels and to get that all arranged. And so they appreciate it when we show up and know in advance how many chairs we're going to need. It makes it easier for everybody. People aren't left standing, and we're not trying to put out chairs at the last minute. So please register, okay? It is free, but you do need to register. And that way, if there's any changes or anything comes up, we can get a hold of you, and we won't be an inconvenience to you in any way. You will find that we're going off to Rogers, Arkansas, March 4th, Wichita, Kansas, March 5th, Oklahoma City, Monday night, March 6th, Dallas, Texas, Tuesday night, March 7th, and Houston, Texas, Wednesday night, March 8th. And joining me in all those cities will be Usama Dakdak, born and raised in Egypt, an expert on Islam, and he'll be speaking specifically on the latest issues relating to Iran and ISIS and how we as Christians ought to be thinking about this, particularly in this concept of Muslim immigration. Sharam Hadian will be joining me tomorrow to discuss this a little bit. But folks, here's a chance to hear from a guy from Egypt. Live in person, warning America that you better do some vetting, extreme vetting, and why he's not offended by it as someone who came from Egypt. And he's an expert on Islam, and he's going to tell you, this is what you need to know. And again, it's free. And it's not what your kids are being taught at high school and colleges across the country. Bring them with you to hear Usama in person in these cities. Rogers, Arkansas, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Texas, and Houston. Brand new material, 100% new material. We asked him to do a brand new presentation from the last time we were in those cities. And then Sharam Hadian will be joining me April 9th in Sioux Falls, La Crosse, Wisconsin, April 10th, Green Bay, Wisconsin, April 11th, Madison, Wisconsin, April 12th, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, April 13th. Now, we're filling fast, folks, and if we have to, we will close off, and you won't be able to register. And we don't want you left out if you want to be there. But we can't build on to the building. When we're full, we're full. So do register and let us know. And you can register at worldviewweekend.com/conferences. worldviewweekend.com/conferences. I know you're going to really appreciate many of you meeting Sharam Hadian in person for the first time. And so you might want to go ahead and get registered. And then tell your friends about it. Email it. Tweet it. Put it on Facebook. Help us get out the word, will you? worldviewweekend.com/conferences. They're free, but you do need to register. All right, Dr. John Whitcomb is my guest from whitcombministries.org. Dr. John, here's our last question. What are the latest developments in the areas of both creationism and Bible prophecy?
The Bible tells us that fewer and fewer people will take God's word literally and seriously. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this, Paul said to Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, etc., etc., holding a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. Avoid such people as this. And I say, well, oh, sad, how sad, how sad. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:1. I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and return to myths. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So you see, friends, it's not just a matter of creationism or prophecy. It's everything in between and over, namely the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Is being maligned, undermined, compromised, and we say, well, now, Lord, what does this mean? Well, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Jesus said, I tell you that God will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? The Greek word, the faith, not faith. Everybody has faith in something. But the faith is what God has revealed by the Holy Spirit in a book called the Bible. And so, you see, friends, we face a situation which I have called God's truth circles. Even when Jesus taught those apostles, some of them believed more than others until you come down to the Apostle John, who was the closest to Jesus in understanding and commitment to the things that he had revealed. Truth circles. Now, and here's the point. We've written a whole paper on this. The truth circles mean that you have a closer relationship, not exclusive relation, a closer relationship to those who are closer to God's word. Others in a wider circle, wider and wider circles, you have some relationship like Jesus did, you see, to outsiders. Then you come inward, and to finally came down to one man. He only took three men to the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. And I say, well, help me, Lord, not arrogantly, not proudly. Be careful here, friends. Humbly ask God to draw you into the inner circles of God's wonderful revelation of truth in God's word, that we might reflect that truth into other people's lives by the work of the Holy Spirit, whom we adore and worship. And we say, thank you, God, for this opportunity today.
Amen. Dr. John Whitcomb, WhitcombMinistries.org. That's his website. I hope you'll check it out, WhitcombMinistries.org. Well, we folks want to be a resource here for you. Just got a great email from someone up in the Northeast, in New York, actually, saying how much they love being able to access our resources because they can completely trust those resources. Well, we do work hard to be theologically sound and accurate, and we've built a broadcast team of many people. And notice we're pretty much all teaching the exact same thing, aren't we? Studying the same book, having the same Holy Spirit illuminate it to us. I hope it's a blessing to you. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House. I want to tell you about a book that I've written called What Every Christian Should Know. In this series, I deal with major and essential Christian doctrines. The book, again, is called What Every Christian Should Know, subtitled Understanding and Defending Essential Biblical Truths, such as, why does God allow persecution for Christians? Did you know there's a providential purpose for persecution? Did you know it's the will of God that we're persecuted? How can you know the will of God for your life? In what ways does much of evangelicalism today promote white magic, and how can we avoid it? How can God use sinful man to accomplish his purposes without being the author of evil? How does Scripture show that people are not taking trips to heaven today? Why does it contradict the Bible to say that Jesus or angels appear to preach the gospel to Muslims? How can you help a family member or friend defeat anxiety and obtain biblical peace? Are predestination and man's responsibility contradictory, or can these two be reconciled? Is the 10% tithe a biblical teaching? I address these and many other essential biblical truths in this brand new book written for lay people entitled What Every Christian Should Know. It's about 260 pages, paperback, and you can order it right now at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. The book is now out, and we'll ship it to you right away when you order it at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. That's worldviewweekend.com/bookstore. Makes a great gift for someone in your life as well. worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.